It's a very, very good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning. With the biggest smile on my face, I'm good in you guys.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. Again, quite a week in Israel. Lots and lots are going on. We've had the appointment of a first openly gay minister. There's been the Gay Pride March in Jerusalem. Israel buried her first lady, President Rivlin's wife unfortunately passed away this week. And then we need to talk about defending yourself against somebody armed with an avocado. Where does one start?
So should we start with how one defends oneself against
I think so, because in case people can't pay attention for long, this is what you need to know about defending yourself against somebody attacking you with an avocado, but we're always too afraid to ask.
Well, every time I read the story, I laugh hysterically.
What?
I don't know if it's just too funny
or
if it is sheer genius.
It is. Tell us the story. Incredible.
Okay. So a 47-year-old guy from Beersheba is facing charges of aggravated robbery after, and this is the kicker, guys, successfully. I mean, I don't know what this says about Israeli banking security.
Yeah, exactly.
But after successfully stealing nearly 30,000 shekels from two Beersheba banks last month, armed with an avocado. So what he did was he walked into the branch, and handed a note to the cashier, the kopayit behind the counter, which apparently he couldn't spell, draw. He couldn't spell the Hebrew word for draw, but basically the note said, hand over the money in the draw or I'm going to throw this grenade. Only the grenades in question were two avocados.
I love this. So can we just be clear? Because avocados are never ripe. They're either not yet ripe or they're overripe. Which ones were these?
Well, I think this must have been overripe because it was a blackened avocado. But there is stills footage of the robbery, armed with fruit, because avos are a fruit.
Right.
But what is frightening is that he managed to leave the first bank and go and successfully rob another bank. I mean, I don't know. Does this give, hope to thieves everywhere? Not only can your spelling be bad, but you can successfully rob banks armed with fruit.
So you could, in Israel, effectively what you're saying is as long as you've got an overripened avocado, you can walk into as many banks as you want and demand money and they'll give it to you.
Apparently so, and apparently he has already served a 3-year prison term for robbery, but never want to give up.
I heard that was with a pineapple. Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, it gets even sillier. This is Monty Python-esque. I mean,
Monty Python has spoken
about how to defend yourself against somebody armed with a banana, but apparently both robberies he wore a sun hat and an eye patch.
And an eye patch. So he was like channeling a whole pirate thing. Oh, Madonna. He was inspired by Madonna.
I was thinking.
Oh,
Eurovision, the gift that keeps on giving.
It is honestly embarrassing. They should have kept this out of the news. I mean, what does it say about law enforcement if you can walk into not one, but two banks armed with a blackened avocado and walk out with, 30,000 shekel at a time?
Well, that's what they call low-hanging fruit, guys.
Oh, that's terrible. That is just terrible. No, I don't think we can encourage that sort of talk on this. So there you have it. That's what you do. So, and just check, obviously, if it's ripened or not. I guess that's the most sensible advice we can give you. All right, let's talk about and I warn you, Rolene, our listeners, not that supportive of the LGBT Q community, considering some of the messages I received yesterday, but we do need to circle back to the story. The Pride March went off successfully in Jerusalem yesterday.
Yeah, so while we're talking about law enforcement, this time they got a little bit more smart, and the police deployed about 2,500 officers. They expected about 30,000 marchers. And what is very, very moving to see is that members of the Haredi community, not in massive numbers, but coming out to support their fellow citizen, their right for civil rights, and the police mentioning yesterday or releasing a statement yesterday that they will be starting to recruit transgender officers. So in the capital yesterday, gay pride parade going off very, very smoothly. The police did arrest at least 17 potential protesters or people who had the potential to be violent, one armed with a knife, and then many made their way to a makeshift memorial for Shiri Banki, a young woman who was stabbed to death during Pride several years ago. I know that one of the councilwomen for the city of Jerusalem, Fleur Hassan Nahum, she spoke about, you know, how moving it was to be there to pay tribute to this young woman. Yesterday, Israel's first openly gay Minister Amir Ohana marching along with fellow citizens. Also, you know, while this is Pride Month, a tremendous achievement for the state of Israel that continues to hold the record for progressive gay rights, especially in the Middle East. I think we're all gay. Gearing up for Pride in Tel Aviv next week. We have Neil Patrick Harris coming to the country. There will be hundreds of thousands of people coming in for Pride. The only problem is that, you know, you can't get a parking anywhere. That's, it becomes an issue.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a problem for Neil Patrick Harris, but for the rest of the country, it might well be. That's incredible that he's coming into to Israel.
But the country being very, very proud of our record on gay rights, and it's quite something phenomenal to be able for, I think this is probably about the fifth or sixth year in a row that the city of Jerusalem has hosted gay pride. And, you know, it's quite tremendous considering the threats over the last couple of years and also the pressures of the city of Jerusalem being an intensely volatile city, the meeting point of multiple religions. And I think it just goes to show you that if tolerance can happen in Jerusalem, tolerance can happen anywhere.
Absolutely. Where it's not happening, those across the world in the United States, where they are not allowing any form of Jewish symbols at the Pride Parade there. And that's becoming a very, very contentious issue, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think it was about 2 years ago, Chicago's Dyke March actually asked Jewish marchers who had the Pride flag with the Magen David on it to please leave the march. They were seen as provocative. And this year, the D.C. Dyke March, and apparently these marches haven't been happening for several years, and now all of a sudden they're being resurrected. But with one caveat, and that is that while yarmulkes are welcome, while tzitzit are welcome, the Magen David on a pride flag is very unwelcome. It's seen as a provocative. It's seen as a symbol of oppression. However, Palestinian flags are welcome, and I can't help but think of the absolute irony, because as they ban this, Israel is decorated with pride flags, both in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem, and in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, we know what happens to people who identify as gay.
Yeah, incredible.
So really, while we're talking really about the flags of oppression,
quite unbelievable. Yeah, really, really, just an unbelievable display of hypocrisy and actually blatant anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. But having said that, a number of feminist organizations, as well as LGBTQ and Zionist organizations such as Zioness, are coming out to support their fellow Jewish marchers and also taking a stand in what they are calling blatant anti-Semitism.
Really, really frightening indeed. Equally as concerning is the fact that Hamas has accused Abbas of stabbing them in the back over a condolence call to Rivlin.
I mean,
I guess we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be surprised. I guess
we shouldn't be surprised, but you know, I think because we are decent people, it just continues to be a shock. I mean, arch BDS supporter Ali Abu Nime this week tweeted that he doesn't see why people are mourning the late Nechama Rivlin because she showed support to soldiers, and you know, he gave all kinds of names to our soldiers. He called them oppressors, he called them baby killers, etc., etc. And now you've got Hamas, who are accusing Abbas of stabbing them in the back because that he offers condolences to Nechama Rivlin. Nechama Rivlin, respected and much loved across the world for her very, very gentle but strong nature, a tremendous, tremendous loss to the country. And I think all of us this week have just wanted to hug President Reuven Rivlin, who is absolutely adored universally for his modest demeanor, for his openness and acceptance of everybody, for his just, you know, his wonderful warm heart. And Nechama Rivlin, our late First Lady, was the embodiment of her name. You know, she was a feminist who wasn't an outright feminist. You know, she didn't have to mention it at every opportunity, but she was the greatest advocate for women's rights, and you know, somebody who belongs to a women's movement. You know, we witnessed and we worked with her firsthand, but also you know, we can't escape the iconic images of her walking hand in hand with US First Lady Melania Trump when she was battling to walk because of health issues. Then at President Perez's funeral, the shaking of hands between Abbas and Reuven Rivlin and Nechama Rivlin.
Yeah, incredible, incredible, and a very, very sad week for Reuven Rivlin and the family. Of course, those images coming out, him sitting Shiva, the traditional Jewish mourning period where people are coming to his home to pay their respects to him and, of course, to his late wife. Rolene marks, this is where we love and leave you. Hope you have a Shabbat Shalom. Hope you have a Chag Sameach. And we
Shabbat
will catch
Shalom,
you next
Chag
week.
Sameach. Beware those killer cheesecakes.
Yes, we need to talk about that. We actually need to have this conversation.